For our text this evening, I have chosen Psalm 23. If you want to turn there in your Bibles. Okay. There we go. So our text for this evening is Psalm 23. If you turn there with me. Moses' concern was indeed that the people would have a shepherd that would lead them. He had led them for quite some time. Now the Lord was removing him from the scene. And as we know, he did supply Joshua and set him as far as being the temporary shepherd, if you will, of God's people. David Letter will write this particular psalm. This is an interesting psalm to me. And it's one of three psalms called the Shepherd's Psalms, and this is in the middle of it. And this particular psalm is a unique psalm, and that is, it looks like a time of calm for David, where he's sitting down and he's thinking about all the things that have happened with regards to him and where the Lord has placed him. And so he begins to describe his life and what the Lord has done for him, and he takes you and me into this as well. He says, "The Lord is my shepherd." And right there, the whole thing just covers the whole rest of the psalm. And we begin to understand and flesh this out. The Lord is my shepherd. Uniquely, we know who the Lord is. Russ has explained him to us quite a few times. And he's the great I Am. He has always been. He's the self-existent one. And everything rests in his hands. You know, from all of creation, wherever we look, it's his. And we are his. And when he speaks specifically of himself as being our shepherd, my shepherd. And when you've got a shepherd, you've got sheep. And David knows about being a shepherd. It was the least sought after job that you could want, was being a shepherd. He was the youngest of the family, so you know how it is, the youngest. There you go, David. And so he's out, he's watching and he's tending the sheep. This particular job is a 24/7 job. Now, I've not been a shepherd, but I've done a little research with regards to shepherds and what sheep are like. And they are a troublesome lot. They are a troublesome lot. When I was a kid growing up at home, I remember as a teenager, one word we were not allowed to use as we address one another was the word stupid. Did you ever hear that? Oh, if you did said stupid, you had to wash the dishes. And so there was many times that we ended up washing dishes. But you know, with regards to sheep, it's a pretty good picture of you and me, of God's people. And that is, we are stupid, and we are foolish, and we do things that we ought not, and there's no call for it. Some of the things that, with regards to sheep, you've got to have them fed all the time. You've got to have them watered. You've got to watch them, everything that they do and every step that they take, you've got to watch them. For they easily can undo themselves. And so let's go look at this particular psalm with regards to that, and we'll see how wonderful the shepherd is. So what I tried to do was think of David, and he's got the scriptures. What has he got? He's got the writings of Moses. And so he could read that, and he would see these particular things with regards to sheep and shepherds. So I thought, as I read, I remembered with regards to Jacob in Genesis 48. This is at the end of his life when he's bringing in the boys and he's blessing them, and Joseph brings in his boys. And he says with regards to the boys, he says, "The God who has been my shepherd all my life to this day, the angel who redeemed me from all evil, bless the lads." So as David would look, he could study the life of Jacob, you could see that indeed he was one of the sheep. And he was prone to wander. And yet God was with him every step of the way. So he could say, there's three areas I want you to see as we look at this particular psalm. That is, the shepherd supplies, the shepherd saves, and the shepherd secures. He supplies, he saves, and he secures. Now it begins to say, because what we read right at the beginning, he says, "The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want." That is, I shall not lack in any way. He's going to supply. What does he supply? He makes me lie down in green pastures. So the shepherd would take the sheep and he would bring him to the pastures. Not just one pasture. Because sheep, as we said, are not too smart. And that is, if you leave them one pasture, as green as it might be, what will they do? They will eat it and they will continue to eat till finally they'll take the roots and there will be no more pasture. So a shepherd has to know that he's got to take them to the green pasture where there's something that's tender for them to eat and they can absorb and they can live by, but he has got to move on. He's got to take them from one place to the next. So there's a time to rest, there's a time to eat, and there's a time to press on. And as you sit and you rest, I thought about meditating upon God's word. And David talks about that in Psalm 1 and verse 1 and 2, where he says, "Blessed is the man who does not walk in the counsel of the wicked, nor stand in the seat of the scorner, but his delight is in the law of the Lord, and in his law he meditates day and night." Perhaps he remembered the admonition to Joshua for him to not let the word of the law depart out of his mouth. Right? For he's meditating it day and night. Thereby the Lord will make his way prosper and his ways will be success. So we need God's word, we sheep. And so he causes us to lay down and in green pastures. He leads me beside the still waters. Another by way of just natural things. We need food. We need water. But this particular one speaks of a peaceful stream. If you take sheep to water and the water is rough and you know it could be detrimental to their life, they'll just plunge right in and you'll end up with some drowned sheep. So you've got to take them to some calm, still water, not stagnant, just a nice flowing water where they can drink. So in your Bibles, I thought of this and saw this in Psalm 46. So just a few pages over with regards to this calm and quiet stream, if you will, in the troublesome lives in which we find ourselves as we live in the world, as God's people led by Joshua, and as David looks back. Psalm 46, verse 1. God is our refuge and strength and very present help in trouble. Therefore you will not fear, though the earth should change and though the mountains slip into the heart of the sea. Though its waters roar and foam, you and I are acquainted with the waters roaring and foaming, aren't we? Though the mountains quake, yes, its swelling pride, there is a river whose streams make glad the city of God, the holy dwelling places of the Most High. God is in the midst of her. She will not be moved. God will help her when morning dawns. The nations made an uproar. The kingdoms tottered. He raised his voice and the earth melted. The Lord of hosts is with us. The God of Jacob is our stronghold. Come behold the works of the Lord, who has wrought desolations in the earth. He makes wars to cease to the end of the earth. He breaks the bow and cuts the spear in two. He burns the chariots with fire. And here's one of my favorite verses. Cease striving, or in the King James says, be still and know that I am God. I will be exalted among the nations. I will be exalted in the earth. The Lord of hosts is with us. The God of Jacob is our stronghold. So be still, we sheep, and know that he is God. And then he leads us beside the still waters, and then he restores our soul. Physically, we can look at the sheep by way of saving us. And the Lord saves us in many ways along the way. We could speak spiritually, but when I thought of the sheep a little more as research, there was something again about these sheep. That is, if they go and they lay down, this would be a sheep that still has its fleece, its full fleece. If it should lay down and gets comfortable and happens to roll on its side and get comfortable there, and especially if there's dew on the ground, that sheep can roll right over on its back. And there it will rest. And you know, in a matter of hours, that sheep will die if it's like that. Circulation stops, rigor mortis, and you've got a dead sheep. So the shepherds, you can see the 24/7, can't you? There's Paul with his legs up. Let's get out there and yank him and get him back, you know, where he needs to be. And so that's exactly what the Lord knows when your leg's up, people. He knows when you need to be challenged and be brought back. And so he's a 24/7 shepherd. And you've got to be, right? You've got to be. He restores my soul. I thought of that with regards to our waywardness, you know. We get lackadaisical. And first thing you know, I found that I've slipped. And my brother sent me some passages from Psalm 94 that really touched my heart with regards to, you know, it's too late. I've slipped. I've gone too far. And with all the troubles around me, you know, that it's one thing to have troubles all around you from the outside, but when they stem and come from the inside, what? They just crush you, can't they? But he sent me these verses in Psalm 94 where it says, Psalmist writes and says, if the Lord had not been my help, my soul would soon have dwelt in the abode of silence. This is Psalm 94:17. If I should say my foot has slipped, your loving kindness, your steadfast love, O Lord, will hold me up. When my anxious thoughts multiply within me, your consolations, your comforts delight my soul. And so my brother brought me back and reminded me that the Lord had me and that he wouldn't let go. And my favorite verse, 1 John 1:9. If we confess our sins, he is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. All unrighteousness. So praise the Lord for what a great shepherd he is. And then it says, he leads me in paths of righteousness or in right paths. There's a wrong path and there's a right path. And if it wasn't for the shepherd, you and I, we'd hit that wrong path in a heartbeat. I thought of one of my verses I learned as a young man, Isaiah 53:6. All we like sheep have gone astray. We've turned everyone to his own way. The Lord has laid on him all our iniquities. But that's our bent, is to do that. And yet, he would lead us back into right paths. And the verse I thought of in the New Testament, 1 Peter chapter 2, verse 25, where Peter says, for you are constantly straying like sheep, but now you've returned to the shepherd and guardian of your soul. And Russ, you can correct me later if I'm wrong, but that's returned as a passive voice. Now, I didn't return myself. The shepherd came after me. And he brought me to himself. See? What a great shepherd we have. So he leads me in right paths, right? Like I said, no other livestock requires more attention than we sheep because we're prone to wander. I thought of that one we was just saying, come thou fount of every blessing, prone to wander, Lord, I feel it, prone to leave the God I love. And then I thought of another that as a young man I learned and sang in church quite a few times, moment by moment. Remember some of the words? Never a trial that he is not there. Never a burden that he does not bear. Never a sorrow that he does not share. Moment by moment, I'm under his care. There's no better care to be underneath than our great shepherd. And so he loves us. He restores my soul. He leads me in paths of righteousness. And then there is this that encapsulates this and makes the foundation of it. For his name's sake. It's not because of the merit or the renown or the greatness of we sheep. Not at all. It's for his name's sake that he brings us back into right paths. It's for his name's sake. David knew that, and the psalmist writes about this in Psalm 31. You want to turn there with me? Psalm 31. We'll read the first three verses, Psalm 31. And you, O Lord, do I take refuge. Let me never be ashamed. In your righteousness, deliver me. Incline your ear to me. Rescue me speedily. Be a rock of refuge for me, a strong fortress to save me. For you are my rock and my fortress. and for your name's sake, you will lead me and guide me. You see, he's placed his name on his sheep. He knows them by name. He identifies, and we are with him, and we belong to him. And so his name is, and his character, his word, his promises to us are there for display in and through us as his sheep. And so as wayward as we be at times, he's still faithful. And for his name's sake, he comes after us and draws us to himself. David could see this as he studies the scriptures that he has, and he could see in the time of the judges, for God's name's sake. Because the people, how did they live? I forget the verbiage right now. According to how they saw things themselves, they were their own law. And they would get wandering away, remember? And he would send the judges after them, Othniel, Ehud, Deborah and Barak, Gideon and Samson. And David could see this cycle that was going. And he could see it in his own life. And he knew it was for his name's sake that he keeps bringing his people back. He goes after the sheep. He brings them to him. And now David continues in Psalm 23, where we read, "Even though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for you are with me." By way of the shadow of the valley of death, our lives of the sheep, of us, there's the greatest shadow is the shadow of the death shadow, if you will. But throughout our lives, there are many, many, many shadows. And through David's life, there are many, and we can read the accounts with regards to him and some of the things that took place in his life that cast many a shadow. From the outside, we could see how troubled he would be that the man that he served, Saul, his king, that he honored, would want to take his life. Jealousy, pride, that would come after him. Tremendous shadows. When even in his own family, there were shadows. By way of Amnon, remember, who forced himself on his sister Tamar, which resulted in heartache and anger from Absalom. And we don't read that David took any action by way of that, by way of making Amnon marry that sister, which would have been proper to do, or to own up to that particular thing. So by way of that was a tremendous shadow that was cast. And there's many others with regards to it, to David's life. Don't you love the scriptures? Because you and I know we have many shadows. And yet the Lord he didn't give up on David. He doesn't give up on you and I. He keeps drawing us back with regards to it. Psalm 34:19. "Many are the afflictions of the righteous, but the Lord delivers them out of them all." For they're his, right? For his name's sake. So, "Even though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for you are with me." Now, here's something I would have missed. Just reading, commentating on this particular issue. There's a change here from the third person he to you. Do you see it? It says, "He restores my soul, leads me in paths of righteousness," right? For his name's sake. And now we have a change from he to you. You are with me. See? So there's this closeness, there's this relationship that he wants us to know about. He's with us during all these shadows that come into your life and mine. It's so good to know, isn't it? "I will fear no evil." Psalm 34:17 says, "When the righteous cry for help, the Lord hears and delivers him out of their troubles." Amen. Praise the Lord. "For you are with me." There's the reason, "for you are with me." But it doesn't stop there and shows you how he's with you. "For you are with me, your rod and your staff, they comfort me." Now the rod and the staff are something to dwell upon and think about. Staff is protection. Did David know of protection? Boy, did he ever know of protection. How close did Saul come taking his life, right? Remember, they're going around the mountain, if you will, and Saul's closing in, and he just steps away from him and David and his 400 men. Saul's got 1,000 with him. And all of a sudden, there's a message that there's a town being attacked by the Philistines, and who sent the message? You know, the Lord sends the message, right, to protect and keep. So there's that staff. I always think of a picture when I was at church. We had a chalk artist come in. You ever have that? A chalk artist come in and he says a message, and there's the picture of the shepherd. And he's leaning over this crag. I mean, it's a wicked looking thing, you know. And he's got that, there's the sheep, and he's just over the edge, and he lasses him with that hook and brings him back. And that's how the Lord does a lot with regards to us, and he saves us many a time. He protects us, and then he corrects us. When I think of the correction, I think of the rod of protection. You know, the Lord says, if you love your children, you'll discipline them, right? He won't spare that rod. So he doesn't spare the rod either. You know, when I need a good whacking, he gives it to me. Now, sometimes a still small voice will do it, but sometimes he's got to lay me low. But you know, it's how much he knows you and I individually, and raising two children and watching my grandchildren, you know, you learn, you know, one of them, you just got to whack. They will not pay attention. And the other one, all you do is just give them that mom or dad look, then they're back where they need to be, you know. So the Lord knows you and I as sheep, and he knows exactly what you and I need. I'm like you, I'm sitting out there and Russ is preaching and I'm thinking, how did he know that that's what was going on in my life that I needed to hear? See, that's the rod. It's not Russ, it's the Lord speaking through Russ that's coming right to you personally, right to you personally. So we need the word and we need it preached. We need it preached to us faithfully. Praise God for Russ. But there was a time in and I wanted to show you how that the Lord provides and we neglect the provision by way of what the Lord has provided. You remember what David said in 1 Samuel 27. 1 Samuel chapter 27. If you want to turn there, it's astonishing in a way if you studied what has taken place in the life of David. How many times has he been spared, you know, from Saul and from issues in his life, et cetera, et cetera. And then we read chapter 1 Samuel 27 and 1. Then David said to himself, now I will perish one day by the hand of Saul. There is nothing better for me than to escape into the land of the Philistines. Saul then will despair of searching for me anymore in all the territory of Israel, and I will escape from his hand. So he arose and he crossed over, him and his 600 men who were with him, to Achish, the son of Maoch, king of Gath. And you and I, if we study what took place, it was one rough time for David. One rough time. Now, what did David do wrong or something that he could have done to prevent himself from doing that? He could have inquired from the Lord. Do you remember? This is a few chapters back with regards to what happened as he was fleeing from Saul. He goes to the tabernacle, if you will, and the priest that was in charge at that particular time gave him the bread that was on the table, Goliath's sword, etc. While he was there, Doeg, the Edomite, Saul's chief shepherd, was there. And David later knows, but this guy's not a good guy. And it resulted in the death of all of the priests, save for one by the young man by the name of Abiathar. He's the only one who escaped and came to David. David, you stay with me and you will be safe. But it's said that Abiathar brought something with him, Ehud. He brought the ephod. The ephod with a Urim that was inside of it, by way of he could have made inquiry as to what he should do. Matter of fact, back in chapter 23, he did make an inquiry as to what he should do. And the Lord honored him. Remember the town of Calah when he went there? Will these people turn me over when you go back and save them from the Philistines? They said, and he inquired from the Lord. And the Lord told him, they will turn you over. And they left, remember? They were safe. So he could have inquired, will Saul catch me? Do I need to stay in the land? And he didn't do it. He left. Do you know what happened with regards to the little town he occupied underneath the Philistine? He almost came into the battle where we know Saul and Jonathan were eventually killed and Saul's sons and the army defeated because the Philistines were coming against the Israelites. Achish thinks this David guy, he's made a bad name with regards to God's to the Jews because he's gone. He did clandestinely. He went out and attacked various places and left no survivors. And he always told Saul he was going out to this town and that town that impacted the Israelites, but he wasn't. So he was clandestinely, he was hiding himself with regards to what he was doing, and he came that close, they ended up in battle against Saul and Jonathan and the Israelites. But the Lord intervened. And that is through the Philistines. They said, we don't want this fellow with us. Do you know who this is? He's got a top 10 song sang about him. He's killed his thousands. All right? So, nope. So they sent him back. And he comes back with his 400 men to Ziklag. And what does he find? Nothing. No children, no wives, nothing. And it's even burnt the town down. Right? And the men so despaired, they thought about stoning him. And then David remembered. And he called for Abiathar and asked, Lord, what should we do? And he told him what to do. And as they went, sure enough, they got all their children, their wives, their goods, and they rescued them all, right? So there's a good lesson there. That we should listen to what the Lord has given to us, promised us, and do what pleases him. I thought of that, you know, he could have looked back also as he studied God's word and saw with regards to Jacob and all the promises God gave to Jacob as he left home. And that he would take him out, he would bring him back, and all the promises that Abraham, Isaac's would be his, and yet he struggled. And as he's up with Laban and serving him, the wives and the children, decides to come back, right? God says, go back. And as he's going back, he hears that Saul's coming with 400 men. He's petrified, right? And yet he has all God's promises to him, right? God's word to him. And he's the one that told him to go back. And I like how he even reiterates that. And as he's praying and he's talking to God, God, you promised me this. You promised, and he goes back over it and all the promises. And that night as he sends the family off, what does he do? He's wrestling with God all night long. All night long. Russ told me, he asked me what a while if I would preach God's word. And boy, I tell you, it's kind of a frightening thing to do, and yet it's a real blessing. But I just needed to trust the Lord and do what he wants me to do and live in a way that pleases him. It's been good. It's been good for me. I thank the Lord for it. So one thing that happened to Jacob with regards to all of this after his wrestling match, remember the Lord touched his thigh and he was out of joint, and that the Israelites would no longer eat that piece of meat on the joint in the hip anymore. So when he left after that tussle, every time he walked, he could remember, right? In that fight that he had And the Lord says he's striven with God and with man, and he's won. What kind of a win? He was a winner, all right, right? He did indeed, he was, because the Lord was on his side, right? Can you imagine as David with his all of his family, and the men with all their families, all their goods. Every time they looked at them, they could remember. We need to follow the Lord in what he's given us and how he's instructed us. And so should you and I. So even though we walk through the valley of the shadow of death and the many shadows, he's with us, his rod and his staff. He comforts us. You prepare a table before me in the presence of my enemy. What an astounding picture of peace, right? I mean, who sits down to eat in the presence of one's enemies? And yet, I think it's more than just sitting down for a brunch or lunch like we had this afternoon. You know, as wonderful as it particularly was. But what we need is God's word to eat and absorb is what we need. Deuteronomy 8 and verse 3. It is written, man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceeds from the mouth of God. That's what you and I need. And that's what David needed to remember as well. And don't you and I have so much more? We have all of God's word, right? Speaking to you and I, the completed canon, if you will, of God's word to us. All scripture is given by the inspiration from God, is profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for instruction in righteousness, that we might be perfectly equipped, right? To please God. What an awesome thing he's done. So here we have a table, all right? In the presence of our enemies, and the issues around us of life, there it is. And we could come here every Sunday evening, Wednesdays, and we can be encouraged and lifted up. You anoint my head with oil is a good thing to remember as well. Every sheep was important to him. Every sheep was important to a shepherd, right? If one was troubled, they were all troubled. And so he knew them by name, and he would take care of them. The Lord knows us, but he knows every hair on your head, as we read in the scriptures, right? He anoints your head with oil as a reminder of how David was chosen out of all of his brothers, you know. That's the man Samuel, right? That one's mine. He's the one. Has he not, as he's promised, and he said in his word that he is you as believers and me, that he's chosen us before the foundation of the world. We've been anointed in a special way. Then he says, you anoint my head with oil, my cup overflows. My cup overflows. And I think Russ might have brought this up one, that was Wednesday or on a Sunday, with regards to this particular thing that I gleaned from. Psalm 133. What I want us to see is as this oil of blessing is poured out, it just doesn't fall to the ground and have no purpose. Psalm 133, behold how good and how pleasant it is for brothers to dwell together in unity. It is like the precious oil upon the head coming down upon the beard, even Aaron's beard, coming down upon the edge of his robes. It is like the dew of Hermon coming down upon the mountains of Zion. For there the Lord commanded the blessing, life forever. I think our focal point was on the unity within the body of Christ. You know, didn't Jesus say, by this all the world will know you are my disciples, that you have love for one another, like I have loved you. If you don't come out on Wednesday nights, you need to think about coming out on Wednesday nights. You know, there you know that you're loved, you're thought about, prayed for. You can go to one of the sheep that you're close to, and you can share the burdens of your heart, knowing that they'll lift you up, knowing that they're sheep too. And there's a tremendous picture that is given here of the unity and the oneness in the body of Christ. If you want an evidence to know that you're truly a believer, is that you love the brethren. You love them, right? Because the Lord is in them, right? Because he loves them. We've got the same shepherd. We've got the same shepherd, and we need one another. So as this oil flows down, as David is anointed, it's meant to go and fall on the other sheep as well. And so we have that. Praise the Lord. For you and me together. Right? And then the psalmist says, surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life, and I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever. Of a surety. Of a surety. What assurance is there? Because of who he is, right? The self-sufficient one, the I am, who is with you, is on your side, is your great shepherd. Surely, without a doubt, goodness, his unfailing word, his promises to you and I will never leave you nor forsake you. Don't you love that one? I will never leave you nor forsake you. Reminder that all of our sins were nailed on that cross with him. He shed his blood. As far as the east is from the west, he's removed them from you. Right? I need a reminder every day of that goodness. Surely goodness and mercy. Mercy. God's steadfast love, his loving kindness is another word for it. His is supplying mercy. It's a saving mercy. It's a securing mercy. We don't deserve it. We deserve his wrath. But yet by his grace, his anointing, he has chosen, made you one of his sheep, one of his people. Right? And he's put himself by way of the Holy Spirit within us. Awesome truths are you and mine. And I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever. But before I say that, look at that last phrase, shall follow me. Now that word follow, I looked it up in Strong's Concordance. It's a very strong word. It means to hunt, to pursue, to run after. He will not let you go. Our Lord will not let you go. He is the great shepherd. So he hunts us down. You can't hide. You know, you can go along so long in your sinful ways, and all of a sudden there is just no peace. No peace. And you realize you've not only sinned against your fellow man or against your own flesh, but you've sinned against God. The one who loves you and gave himself for you. And he crushes the inner man. He pursues us each and every day. Praise the Lord for that. Praise the Lord for that. Our life is one of continual repentance, isn't it? And I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever. Nothing can separate you from him. And then I remind you, because I think Russ did this morning, he mentioned him. If you want to turn to John chapter 10. John chapter 10. This is the chapter I'm sure you're familiar with. It's the chapter of the great shepherd. And if you're taking notes, which I don't expect you should have to, given that it's just for me, but if you want to look up Ezekiel chapter 34, you're going to see that the prophet Ezekiel talks about the coming of the shepherd, and you'll be astonished. It's just, there he is. This is what he's going to do. And you're going to see Psalm 23 just come alive to you. This is Ezekiel chapter 34. But John chapter 10, the good shepherd. First of all, he admonishes, which he will do in Ezekiel 4, the false shepherds. This figure of speech, it says in verse 6, Jesus spoke to them, but they did not understand what those things which were, which he was saying to them. So Jesus said to them, truly, truly, I say to you, I am the door of the sheep. All who came before me are thieves and robbers, but the sheep did not hear them. I am the door. If any man enters through me, he will be saved. I'm going to go in and out and find pasture. The thief comes in only to steal and kill. I came that they may have life and have it abundantly. I am the good shepherd. The good shepherd lays down his life for the sheep. And then down to 14, I am the good shepherd, and I know my own, and my own know me. Even as the Father knows me, and I know the Father, and I lay down my life for the sheep. I have other sheep which are not of this fold. I've got in my margin, that's me, Gentiles, right? I have other sheep which are not of this fold. I must bring them also. They will hear my voice, and they will become one flock with one shepherd. For this reason, the Father loves me, because I lay down my life, and I might take it again. And then over a little bit, verse 27, my sheep hear my voice, and I know them, and they follow me, and I give eternal life to them, and they will never perish, and no one will snatch them out of my hand. My Father who has given to me is greater than all, and no one is able to snatch them out of the Father's hand. I and the Father are one. What a great shepherd he is, see? Lord is my shepherd. Let me, we're going to close with a hymn, but I want to read this particular doxology, if you will, from Hebrews chapter 13, verses 20 and 21. This, of course, the Hebrews is the great chapter that magnifies our Lord as to who he is with regards to us, the great high priest, the one who intercedes. Now he says, now may the God of peace, who brought again from the dead our Lord Jesus, the great shepherd of the sheep, by the blood of the eternal covenant, equip you with everything good that you may do his will, working in us that which is pleasing in his sight through Jesus Christ, to whom be the glory forever and ever. Amen. And may all the glory be his. Let's sing a hymn together that summarizes, I think, Psalm 23 so well. In just a second, I'll give you the number for that particular hymn. It's number 171 in your hymns of grace. 171. Let's stand and sing that.